Marida. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace this day, Lord God. We thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for blessing us to come into your house of prayer once again. Lord God, we thank and honor you, Lord God, for all that you have done and that which you're going to do. Father, we pray and ask that you would bless each one that is tuning in, each one under the sound of my voice, Lord God. Lord, we pray and ask that you would bless and touch your people, Lord. Lord God, have your way, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, that you be exalted, Lord God, that you be lifted up above everything, every situation. Lord God, we're here to bless your name, Lord. Lord, help us to worship you in the beauty of holiness, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord God, for your will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, for your will being done here among us, oh Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the souls that have been reached, the souls that were witnessed to. Lord God, the invites that have gone out, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Lord, and we bless your name, Savior. Touch their minds, Lord God. Touch those that are sick in their body. Lord God, let them be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, stir the mind of the backslider, Lord. Hallelujah. To you be the glory. To you be the honor. To you be the praise. We thank you, Lord God, for enlarging our borders. We thank you for blessing us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. I pray and ask that you will bless the obedient. Lord God, and stir the mind and the heart of those that are not. As these blessings in Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace, located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. A Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m., but we're in prayer at a quarter till. We're on our knees seeking the Lord, each one of us. Hallelujah. Nobody's exempt. As the Bible said, all that man should always pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You should be walking around with a prayer in your heart, a prayer in your mind, even in the midst of doing business. Hallelujah. They talk about multitasking. Well, that's something you can do. You can have a prayer in your heart while you're taking care of business and other things. We just want to thank God today for his kindness. On Wednesday, it's Bible study at 7 p.m. And we believe the Bible is the word of God, period. We believe that, and therefore we're faithful, we're bold, believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the word of God. There is no plan, no other plan. There's no plan B. There's no plan C. There's no other plan except obedience to what God has to say. Now, if you're not willing to be obedient here, right now, in this present moment, in your current state of being, meaning that you are physically here, you're not going to be obedient when the rapture takes place, when the church is caught up. The rapture means a quick taking away. You're not going to be obedient then. No, you're not, because your spirit and your mind has not changed. That's the reality that all of us must face. All of us have to deal with that. And so it's better to deal with it now, as the Bible said, that judgment begins in my house. And you'll find that in the Old Testament. Now, for those of you that are listening and I hope that you receive this, when they preach sermons, where did they get the scripture from? The New Testament is not written. Where were they preaching the word of God from? So for those that say, well, the Old Testament is not relevant, you better think again. You better think again about what you're saying, or maybe what someone told you is not correct. It's not correct. The word of God, the Bible said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word is not going to pass away. And so from Genesis to Revelation, the word of God is valid. And you need to know and understand the word of God. And all I get an understanding. And all you're getting, that's academically in school, that is on the job, and that makes the difference between those that are successful and those that are not. Get an understanding. When you have understanding, then use wisdom to know how to use the understanding that you have. That comes up because me and my 10-year-old grandson, we were having a discussion. I told him there are three things that you need. You need knowledge. And you need an understanding about the knowledge that you have. And then you need wisdom to know how to use it at the appropriate time. And so it's the same. It doesn't leave us. That's all through our entire lifehood that we need knowledge, we need understanding, and we need wisdom. And I hope that you can receive that this morning, that you will receive that as it has been stated. And so with that being said, you know, there's a lot that is going on in this day and time. My heart is stirred, and I pray and I hope that your heart is stirred too, because the Lord is coming. I was just beginning prior to our prayer. This is Pastor Carl Henderson, for those that don't know. And I'm thrilled and I'm excited this morning about the Lord Jesus. You know, and so again, thank you for joining the online service of the Cornerstone of Grace. If you're looking for a church home, growth, and ministry, I want to invite you to join us. Stick with us. And most of all, stick with the God that you know. And my prayer is that is the God of the universe, the judge of the world, and that is Christ. All right, the anointed one, Jesus Christ. Listen, I was talking about and started to make a statement this morning. I stopped because I think it's a statement that everybody needs to hear. And your heart should be stirred. As we hear what's going on across the land, wherever you are, whatever continent you're on, your eyes should be focused on the east, Israel is at war, and they made a statement recently that's just posted on the news, and that is, they're going against their enemy. And they said, we don't care. And I'm paraphrasing it. We don't care if you don't back us. U.S., if you don't back us, we don't care. If you're at odds against us, when all nations, the Bible speaks about when all nations turn their back on Israel, you better watch out. So you can play. Those of you that have heard me before know I'm a transparent speaker. And so if you monkeying around with your soul salvation, feeling like, well, you know, God loves me and it's a good tingling feeling and stuff, you better be tearing for the Holy Ghost and receive what God has for you. Receive it. Because the body shall be changed. Your spirit is not going to be changed. Your body is going to be changed, not your spirit. And so we need all of us, everybody, no matter who you are, I don't care how many folks are following you. I don't care how many are not following you. I don't care what position you hold. You might look like something in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God is what I'm concerned about. Because he speaks about pastors and prophets and ministers and whatever title you hold. And they're going to come and they say, we cast out devils in your name. We did a great work. We preached in your name. We did a great work. We prophesied in your name. We did great work. And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. I don't want that to be my end story. And so therefore, we must present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. Whatever you're doing, you screwing around with a man, stop. You screwing around with a woman, stop. You screwing around with anybody that you know you should not be screwing around with, stop. Get yourself together. You lying, stop lying. You stealing, stop stealing. You embezzling, stop embezzling. Stop the mess. Stop what you're doing, thinking that you're getting away with it. And then the Lord come and you get left behind. You've been in church. I'm talking to church folks. I don't expect people outside of the church not to, people outside of the church, and some of them don't even do those things. But I'm talking to folks that say that I believe the word of God. Do you believe the word of God? I believe the word of God. I would have to be a fool. Well, actually, I am. I'm a fool for Christ. But if you preaching, you know, you going to church and you doing stuff, reaching out to people, witnessing and talking to people about the Lord and you know, and offering and giving money to keep the lights on in the church and the rent be paid, the mortgage be paid, and you doing all this stuff. And there's, and you doing it, there's nothing coming back to you except how the Lord blesses you, you know, and you doing all of this stuff and you don't believe in what you're doing. Something is, you're a fool. You're a fool. That's what other people are looking at you saying. That's foolishness. Well, a fool is someone that does foolish things. Okay. But I also found out that it's through the foolishness, through the preaching of God's word, that he can confound the wise. Yes, and save those that seem to be so simple, such a simplistic way. Well, we're not going to talk about that this morning, but I just want to encourage you. And then we had a mighty in our prayer this morning. I'm telling you, God really stepped in and he is here right now. Amen. And so we're going to go forth in the word of God this morning. We have another service to be at this afternoon. And so yesterday we were out at the church where we are having the Pentecost service, SoCal Pentecost, on May 30th at 7 p.m. And that's an ordination service. You're going to want to be there. You know, people are flying in, we're getting phone calls, people are going to be present to magnify the Lord. And during that time, let me tell you that on May 1st through the 30th, we're going to be consecrating. We're going to be consecrating. And so that consecration consists of no meat. It's going to mess you up. No meat. Your body's going to feel fine. But this is just going to mess you up mentally, because you're not going to be able to get no fried chicken during that 30-day consecration. No boiled chicken, no barbecue, no broiled, no sauteed. Don't eat no fish, none of that kind of stuff. Well, fish is not. Listen, just obey what is being said. Just obey what is being said. I'm here. I'm standing in the presence of God talking to him about this consecration. And you're going to dictate of what it needs to be and how it should be done. Don't cater to your flesh and don't listen to the whim of the devil. A consecration. We're seeking God. We're seeking him for the move of his spirit. Souls be saved. And so my prayer and hope is that you are setting that time aside. Again, that's May 30th at 7 p.m. on that Friday, the 31st at 7 p.m. And then on that Saturday, at 11 a.m. that Saturday morning. And so on that Thursday, that pastors and ministers are asked to wear their white, and the deacons, clergy collars. And these things you should be getting right now and have them. If you need something new that you want to wear, you know, like myself, I'm, you know, then you're going to want to get that in an early enough time that if it don't fit you correctly, then you can exchange it, since so many things are done over online now. That first at 7 p.m., we're asking that everyone be there in sufficient time, meaning that before 7 o'clock, like a quarter till. And so we can line up, because there's going to be a procession. And as we go in, we're going to have communion. We're going to have communion on that Thursday evening. And so this is a consecrated service. And so you're going to want to be there and line up and with what's going on. All right. God bless you. Thank you for listening again. And so I want to direct your attention this morning to Peter, to 1 Peter. Using your device, your Bible, whatever your flavor is this morning, as long as you tune into the Word of God, I have my Bible open in front of me. You know, I noticed something. I was listening to Bible Gateway, and I'm listening to what I thought was King James, and I like reading the King James Version. I do listen and read other versions, but my Bibles that I have in front of me right now are King James. But I noticed that in their reading, the audible, that they've even changed some words of what they're reading. And I open the scripture up and I'm like, wait a minute, that's, and some scriptures I knew didn't say what they're saying. I knew what it meant, but it didn't read. The wording was not the same. All right. First Peter, the first chapter that beginning at the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and have faded not away, preserved in heaven for you. Now, he's given future hope to each of us. And out of all the things that I hope for, out of all the things that you hope for, out of all the things that your children may be looking at and hoping for, we want to make sure that each of us, and that we teach our children, that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Now, I know those are the words of the song, but I think that it catches and it embodies what Peter is talking about right now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, God has been merciful to each of us. Do you recognize God's mercy this morning? What the Lord has done, how he has saved you. The Lord God Almighty has brought us out. That's not just a song for Israel to sing. That's a song that I'm singing. The Lord God Almighty has brought me out. The Lord God Almighty brought you out. What did he bring you out of? He may have brought you out of a world of sin. He brought you out of male and female whoredom. He brought you out of drinking. He brought you out of just public intoxication and under the influence of whatever you was taking and whatever you was eating and magic mushrooms and snorting and injecting into your body. And he brought you out of all of that. He brought you out of the different flavors that you was involved in sexually. He brought you out. The Lord God Almighty has brought self-righteousness. Well, I didn't do none of that, but he brought you out of your own self-righteousness, because all righteousness is as filthy rags unto him. So our self-righteousness, I paid my bills on time and I was dedicated to one individual and I didn't sneak around and I didn't do none of those things. And, I was a good girl, or I was a gentleman. But wait a minute, hold it. But without Christ, you still nothing. Because all of us by sin came into the world through one, Adam. So all have been contaminated, no matter how good they think they are. Contaminated, completely messed up. All right. But God brought us out. We have mercy. And it says that he has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection of Christ, if Jesus died on the cross, if he was buried, and in his burial, he never got up again. Everybody could go there and they see his body just rotting away, drying all up, no water in the body, nothing. Skin looking like leather, and he never got up again. I believe the Apostle Paul said that then we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry. We might as well just go out and just have a good time doing whatever we want to do, because everything that we've been talking about is in vain. But that's not so. He told the thief on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so that meant that when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said that he went down into the grave and preached to those that were sometime disobedient. At that moment, the grave became a paradise. He did not ascend to glory. And so the thief that was on the cross with him went into that paradise. Some thought that the thief on the cross, that he died and went to heaven and meet. No, it didn't. No, that's not what happened. He said, you're going to be with me. And where did he go? He went down into the grave and he preached to those that were sometime disobedient, and they got up out the grave. Those that were sometime disobedient, and whoever that was in there, and Judas happened to be there at that time. Mighty God. Bless your name, Jesus. Judas was there. People want to talk about Judas, but Judas, before Judas died, Judas repented of sin. Holy Ghost. Yes, he did. The guilt and conviction that he had was so overwhelming that he died. Yes, he did. And so he was in the grave before Christ. Guilt ridden, ashamed of what he had done. Then came Christ, who preached to those that were sometime disobedient. You guys go ahead and deal with that one. Come back another time. But listen. Abundant mercy have gotten us again. Here we are back to where God wanted us to be. A lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. All of this is because Christ died for us and rose again, the resurrection. I guess someone would say, as the world and those that recognize and talk about Easter Sunday, what are you going to talk about? You talk about the resurrection today. Listen, everything is about the resurrection every day. Our hope is built on the resurrection of Christ every day. Every day. It's not built upon Easter Sunday, because Easter was existing before. Yes, it was. Easter was not because of Christ. No. All right. Let me go on. That might mess with some folks. I'm not trying to mess with you. I want you to stay with me. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. So our hope is that we are looking to heaven. We're looking that when this chapter closes, we're looking unto God. We're looking to be in his presence. Now, the fifth verse says, who are kept by the power of God. Now, this is important because he's talking to who? Those that are scattered throughout the land. They're scattered in different cities. They're scattered because of persecution. They're scattered because they're running for their lives. They don't want to die right then. There's nothing wrong with that. It didn't stop them from believing. They're not the only ones that had been scattered before. So see, Peter, who is talking to him, he knows what it means to be scattered. He knows what it means to be shamed and running for his life. Paul, he know what it means. Paul was lowered down in a basket to escape. It was through the spreading, it was through the persecution that they ran for their lives that the gospel spread it. They were all gathered together. They're all in Jerusalem and rejoicing over the outpouring of God's Spirit. The Holy Ghost has been poured out, the Spirit of promise, and we have dunamis power. We have the power to be a witness. We have the power for our bodies to be changed from mortal to immortality. We have the power that God has spoken, that he's been prophesied about since Joel. And in the last days, God shall pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, as Joel 2:28. It's here. And so they're all comfortable, and they're there, and they're comfortable surroundings. They're there, you know. As so many do, they go to church and they're comfortable where they are. Did you witness to anybody this week? Did you invite anyone to service this week? What about last week? What about the week before that? Just comfortable. I'm comfortable where I am. We should not be so comfortable that we're not doing anything. What are we doing? And so persecution arose and the disciples scattered. They had to run for their lives. Well, in that, the gospel spread. Sometimes the things that we're going through causes us to do more. Even though we look at it and say, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. Yes, we start going through things. I didn't sign up for that. If I had known that was part of the deal. And some of us kind of knew, but we didn't know. You know, the difference in knowing knowledge, book knowledge, is different from experience. You have people that have book knowledge. They even in academic. They go to college. They get the knowledge, but they don't have any other smarts about them. No, they don't. And that's not everyone, but it's some. It's some. They don't have no other smarts about them. They can pass a test, and that's it. But they don't have no other smarts about them. Who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation. Don't stop studying because I said that now. You keep studying because you need that smartness. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. So there is a demonstration of power that is ready to be revealed in these last times, the times that you live in, the time that I'm existing. This is our time. The people, those that have not come along yet by the will of God, if he should tarry, it's not their time. This is our time. Those that believe, those that know right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, mighty God. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through the manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, the trying of your faith. Now, the trying of your faith does not consist of you being tempted to go out and commit adultery. That's not the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith does not consist of you being tempted to go out and commit spiritual adultery or natural adultery. Okay? Because people, I didn't go and sleep with that man. Or I didn't go sleep with that woman. But what about the spiritual adultery? Where you are negligent in doing what God has required of you to do. And so you give that time to something else. That's spiritual adultery. We can be faithful to our job, but are we as faithful to our job as we are to God? Are we? I should hope the answer to that is yes. You should be able to look back and say, I have been faithful. The Bible says that I believe it was Hezekiah, Bible students, you can correct me if you like, but I believe it was Hezekiah that received the word that you only have a short period of time, you're going to die. And the Bible said that he turned his face to the wall. I love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And the reason, let me share with you why I say that, because we're in the word of God, and I've been busy doing so many things. For the church, what I'm working on is for the expansion of the ministry. And so I've been doing things and I did not sit down in front of the computer and type up a message. Okay. Sometimes preachers know what I'm talking about. We sit down and we take notes and we type stuff up, you know, and write stuff out and stuff. I have nothing but the word of God. My two Bibles open in front of me. And as the Lord is pouring out into references to the word, into our spirit. And so Hezekiah, the Bible said that he turned his face to the wall. He's in a situation where he knows he's going to die. And within his heart, he said, I don't want to die. He's making this plain. by turning his face. He turns to, I'm shutting everything else out. When was the last time you shut everything out? I was sitting at the table with a book open, and I have my composition book, and I'm taking notes on some stuff and praying at the same time. Lord, help me to remember this information. But I also have my Bible Gateway open, playing the scriptures. The word of God is in the background playing. But there come a time where you have to just shut everything off. Everything. And just talk to God. It don't mean that he's going to talk to you at that moment, but you talking to him. And so the Bible said that Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall. He shut everything out. I don't want to look at nobody. I don't want to talk to nobody right now. I'm talking to God. I just need his focus. I want to stay focused. And when he did that, he had something he could present to God. Do you have anything you could present to him? Can you say, Lord, I've been faithful to you. I've been faithful at 9 o'clock. It's time for service. I'm there. 8:45 is prayer. I'm there on the altar. I'm praying. I've been faithful in seeking you. I've been faithful. I don't always have $20 or $30 or $5 to give, but I've given. I've given. I've been faithful. Lord, I don't always, but I'm faithful to you. I'm faithful to personal devotion, so that when I in my quiet time where I'm by myself, my individual, my personal devotion, so that when I get to the group setting, the assembly of the church, I have my fires already lit. I'm not going there to be lit. I'm already lit. I'm already on fire, and I'm coming to help lift you up so that we're one voice. I've been faithful to you. Can't you tell God that you've been faithful to him in anything? Anything at all? Lord, I've been faithful to you. I've been faithful. Deacon Wayne, I had like three different names. I have raced to be here at the church because he's beat me here every time. 9 times out of 10, he's here 99% of the time before me. Faithful, commendable. Can you tell God that you're faithful? And that's when I know that when certain people don't show up in church, I know that it's a legitimate reason because of their faithfulness. That they're not playing around, but their faithfulness. Can you tell God that you've been faithful? Listen, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, than that perisheth, that we might be found unto praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Christ, whom having not seen ye love. Now, none of us have seen him, but yet we love him. But there's a condemnation. There is an undercurrent here because the word of God teaches and tells us that how are we going to love who we have not seen and not love our brother, the person that's standing next to us? I love God. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. And but what about the person next to you? Do you love them? You don't have to know them. Just the mere fact that they're your brother, they're your neighbor, they're individual made in the image of God. Do you love them? Well, you know, there's three types of love. I'm not asking you about the three different kind of loves. I'm asking you, do you care about that individual as much as you care about yourself? That's a requirement that God has of each of us. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. the salvation of your soul. These people are being persecuted. They are scattered abroad. They're holding on. He's telling them, hold on. I know you didn't know this. You were not aware of it, but some of you got involved in this and you said, I didn't sign up for that. But I want to remind you, I want you to understand that you have a hope. There is something much more, and this is why you go through things. This is why you deal with things. And I say that in righteousness, because what we deal with and whatever we're experiencing should be as a result of our commitment to Christ, a commitment to a spirit of excellence. Spirit of excellence. What I'm going to do it the right way. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the right way. No matter what it is, whatever I do is going to be done the right way. In other words, I'm going to pour my whole heart into it. I'm going to pour everything that there is about me into what I'm doing for God. I'm going to pour everything that there is about me into what I'm doing for work. I'm going to pour it into my relationship. I'm going to pour it in so that everything I do is done in a spirit of excellence instead of just lackadaisical. It's not going to be lukewarm like the Church of Laodicea in Revelation, where the Lord speaks about them being lukewarm. You know, lukewarm water is not the same as cold water. It's not the same as hot water. But see, both of those temperatures, where you have an extreme of cold and you have an extreme of hot, there are certain bad elements that cannot exist in that. But when you got that lukewarm stuff going on, there's some bad elements there. All right, listen, I'm just about done. I'm just about done. The Bible tells us that he's encouraging them. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. This is verse 13. The loins of your mind. You need to pull some things in. Pull it together. You know, we're not going to be opsy-flopsy and none of that kind of stuff. We pull it together. Pull it together now. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be sober-minded. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Don't fall backwards. Don't when things aren't going right, and you know, and things I'm struggling with stuff, and so therefore, because I'm struggling with it, I think I'm gonna give myself permission to satisfy the flesh because I'm disappointed. No, don't look. We're not temper tantrums. We're not having. See, that's one of those temper tantrum things where, you know, things are not going my way. And so I'm going to act out. That's not a time to act out. That's a time to hold fast, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work and the word of God. The Bible, he goes on to say, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You'll find that in Leviticus, about the 19th chapter. Now, he wants them to know. He wants them to understand. He wants them to be unmoved by what is going on in their lives. The second chapter of the first verse, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice. So we're going to be sober minded. We're going to gird up the loins of our minds. We're going to look unto the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, laying aside all malice. So we're going to lay aside those things that we should not be holding on to. Lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking. And he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow, that you might grow. Now, here it is. When we first came to the Lord, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for righteousness. Lord, I want you to save my soul. Lord, save me, Lord. How is it that all of a sudden over the year, month, weeks, months, years go by, that hunger and thirst that we once had start to subside. And we just fall into a routine. Oh, yes. We talked about being faithful and having something to turn to God and talk about. But has it become a routine? Or is there a stirring in your spirit? Every believer, every preacher, every pastor, every minister, every officer, every ambassador for Christ, which is all of us, should be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. The Bible said that Lot, I believe it was Lot, the scripture talks about him being vexed. And so by what was going on around him, you ought to be vexed. You ought to be troubled by unrighteousness. You ought to be, it shouldn't just set with it. Well, you know, I can live with that. You know, it's not me. No, it should have some kind of impact on you. Cause you to pray about it. Cause you to have some wisdom and reach out to the individual that may be a victim or may be the predator. Or may even, some of you have enough knowledge and have enough experience to even deal with what some people would call a super predator. God does. So don't depend on yourself. Depend on God. I love the story about the gang initiation. Man, this is a motorcycle gang. The initiation that we grew up with was a little different back in the day. This initiation consisted of a biker. He had to go to a church service. They picked out a church. His initiation was to go and sit down in the front row of the service in his gang, in his bike attire. And so he's walking in the service. And of course, people are looking at him. And he was to sit there and mad dog the preacher. Yes, that was his assignment. He walks in the service and he sits down and he sits in one of the mother seats. And, you know, people, oh, he's in mother. I'm just going to call her Mother Baker. He said in Mother Baker's seat, you know, Mother Baker's going to be here. What is Mother Baker going to do? Mother Baker, when she did come to service, she was glad to see him. Greeted him with loving kindness. The man broke down and repented of his sins. He joined a different gang. He ganged up with Christ. It changed his life. It changed his life. It changed his life. Mighty God, are what we doing life-changing even for ourselves? We step back and say, I didn't sign up for this. I want more. I want better. I don't want it to be that. And God is saying, yes, you did. In order to bring out of you what I want, you have to go through that. You have to go through it. If you did not go through that, if you didn't go through the suffering, if you didn't go through the pain, it would not draw out of you what God is pulling. It would not. Hezekiah wouldn't have never turned his face to the wall and begin to pray like he did. I don't know how that prayer went and what it consisted of. Sometimes our suffering and our pain and what we say we didn't sign up for is the very thing that causes us to get down on our knees and call out to the Lord with a different tone. It causes us to shut everything down and to pray with a consistency. It causes us to dig from inside of the depths of our soul. Lord, I need thee. I need you. I need you now. Even though you've been praying all along, even though you've been faithful, you've been singing songs, but there's something about when we are going through things that it causes us to move differently. It causes us to cry out differently. All of a sudden, the hunger and thirst that we dismissed, all of a sudden now is back again. We're crying out like the newborn babe with a sincere cry. It's not just words, it's not just going through the motion, but we're crying out. We're crying out differently now. And so God sends us through. It's not to kill us. It's to make us strong. It's to provide a witness that God is able to take you through that. And because he took me through that, he can bring me through what I'm going through right now. Because I went through that and he brought me out of that, then I can go through whatever may come. It may not seem like it when it arrives, because we don't want to deal with it. I didn't sign up for that, but here it is. Well, I didn't sign up for the other thing either. Neither did you. But God brought us through that. And because he brought us through that, he can bring us through this. To all the saints that are scattered abroad, to those that are going through, and you calling out unto the Lord, and you're praying and you're seeking God, and you're living a sanctified life, you're presenting your Bible, your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And you're dealing with stuff. God isn't forgotten about that. He hasn't forgotten about you. No. Peter goes on, he tells the church, he said, listen here. He said, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mindset. So there's a certain mindset that we should have, knowing that there's going to come a time that we're going to deal with some things. CLG is dealing with something right now. Yes. Mm-hmm. Churches as a group deal with issues. As individuals, we deal with issues. As pastors, we deal with issues. It has nothing to do with sin. The trying of your faith is not sin. It's not sin. He said, arm yourself likewise. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. When you find that you are afflicted in your body, now some of our affliction is because we've been lazy, don't go to the gym, gaining weight, not trying to lose weight, ate ice cream. I ate ice cream with my grandson the other day, and I knew I shouldn't have been eating it. Yep. And so now I'm like, okay, now I got to make sure I got to do whatever it's taken to get rid of what I have eaten that me and him enjoyed so much. It's more work. I heard someone say an ounce of pleasure becomes a pound of pain. So, you know, as long as it's not sin, there's some things we know. He said, for he have suffered. And so our suffering sometime in the flesh is because we're not doing the right thing. It's just like if you go and you start jogging and then you pull a leg muscle, a hamstring muscle, you know that body, you ain't been doing that. You should have stretched first and you should have walked instead of ran. You know, you trying to run a 50-yard dash in less than 5 seconds. Everybody can't do that. There's a few that can, but I'm not one of them. And some of you aren't either. Cease from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. This is why God deals with us. In your suffering, I'm going to close out with this. I'm not going to, in your suffering, and the very thing that you say, I didn't sign up for, God is doing something with you. He's the hands of the potter, and you're the clay. And so he can shape and mold us. If you've ever worked with a clay dish, I remember in school working with some clay dishes before, you know, and you take the clay and you work with it and you add some water to it and you scrape it and you knife it and you do everything and you smash it and you shape it into something and then it don't look right. And so then you reshape it. And so I was working, I'm working on something for the church and that is going to help us. And in the process, and it's technology, and in the process of working on it. It looked good. It looked very colorful. It was very nice looking. But I'm like, no, this is not it. And I had to scrap it. Then I rebuilt it. And I had the functionality that I wanted. But there's still something that was missing. Scrap it again. There, until I get the functionality that I'm looking for, you have to remake it. Well, I'm sure if that application had a voice, it would say, I didn't sign up for all of that. But that's what we say. I didn't sign up for all of that. What I'm going through, what I'm dealing with, I didn't sign up for that. But listen, yes, we're part of that. And so in your going through, know that God is with you and that he's drawing something out of you. You can have that confidence. It don't mean it's going to make you feel better, but you can have that confidence. It don't mean that you're not going to want it to hurry up. I needed to hurry up and go through this. Nope. Sometimes it's days, weeks, and even months. But God is drawing something out of you. Lord, deliver me from this. And God is saying, no, I like the fellowship. No, the fellowship is too good. It's too good right now to bring you out of that. Bless you, Lord Jesus. It's too good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his grace. And you know, I want to thank God for each that is tuned in to the broadcast and is listening. My prayer is that you would grab hope to the word of God. Grab hope to what is being said. There is so much that we need to pull the curtain back on. God wants us to pull the curtain back on some things, but we have to be ready to see what's behind that curtain. And so many people, I want to understand angelology. No, actually you don't. You need to just understand that first let's get to the basic things and understand those things. And then God will reveal things as we need to know. And one of those things that you need to know is that in your not signing up for this, you're in it. And God is in it with you. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. And let's continue to pray for me. God bless you. And each of you, again, continue to pray for us as we are praying for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord. I ask that you would bless each one under the sound of my voice that have taken time out of their schedule to tune in to this exhortation. Lord God, I pray and ask that you would bless them, Lord God, as they are desiring your word, as they live your word, as they present their bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you. Lord God, continue to bless us, Lord God, to walk in obedience, to be faithful unto you, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord God, to hear your voice. Help us, Lord Jesus, to not just hear it, but to be doers of your word. Lord, we'll be careful to give your name the praise and to give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you've been blessed, please visit connectingtruth.org. connectingtruth.org, and give us a testimony. We're going to be in our program for coming up in May, the Pentecost program. We're going to be listing your testimonies in the program, you know, and it'd be wonderful to hear from you. It just would be wonderful. Share the broadcast with someone else. This is not a watered down gospel. This is not being sugarcoated. What you're hearing right now is live. I see E20 Humble Dog. I see Ann B. Page and Spiritual Doctor and just thank God, you know, I keep and have information in front of me. And I thank God for you. Thank God for you. And so be blessed. Bless someone else in Jesus' name. Amen.